Good morning. Sorry about that. A little headset malfunction. I wasn't sure if I was on or not. It is Rosie on the house. We are in the Landscape Garden Hour. John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery. Welcome, sir. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was fabulous.
Holiday time.
We had our grandbaby here for a whole week. So
staying at the house?
Stayed at the house.
Nice.
So that was pretty darn fun. Kind of puts fun back into Christmas. You know, adult Christmases are nice, but when you got kids, it's
a whole nother level.
A joyous occasion.
Yes.
Yes.
I couldn't agree
so
more.
So that was fun to watch her kind of really experience that for the first time. She's a year and a half. So that was fun. And just family. And yeah, it was a nice, relaxing time. It's kind of the way it fell this year with Friday to Friday with, you know, you get a little kind of a couple of weekends out of the whole deal and kind of great, nice, relaxing week. But now we're back. Got to start taking the garden seriously again here pretty quick and coming up on, you know, you mentioned in the previous hour leading up to this hour, roses. It's time to start thinking about pruning roses, pruning deciduous fruit trees, the trees that have lost their leaves or are in the process of losing their leaves. This is the time to start pruning them and rose bushes. Not your frost damage stuff, not anything else, just roses and deciduous fruit trees. In fact, in two weeks from today, we'll have our annual rose clinic, the 16th of January, at our location on Hayden Road at 10 o'clock. Ryan Rieger from the Rose Society will be there to show you how to expertly prune your roses. And this guy was in the Phoenix Home and Garden magazine, his whole yard. So he knows, you know, what he talks about when it comes to pruning roses. So stay tuned for that. And that's the perfect time. Middle of January to the middle of February is just the perfect time to be pruning roses and start selecting your new roses and getting those planted as well.
Now, I don't have roses, but it seems like from what I remember, they're in bloom right now. And I mean, you're trimming off some pretty foliage.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, this kind of weather is kind of really, they really like pretty cool nights and warm sunny days. And, you know, depending on how cold it's gotten, they might start defoliating. But it never really gets cold enough here to cause roses to go completely dormant. So we generally, in a lot of years, are pruning roses back that look pretty darn good. But if you don't, they won't look like that again next year. So you want to make sure you do prune them back sufficiently this time of year.
And to learn more, you can sign up. Do I have to register?
Don't have to do a thing. Just come, but I would encourage you to bring. We have a fair amount of seating, but it's not a bad idea to bring a comfortable lawn chair along.
Have it for backup.
Just in case.
The seats are awful.
Just in case.
So that's 2 weeks from now, the annual rose.
Yeah, and I don't know what annual it is, so I don't even claim. We don't even say it anymore. So it's like 30-plus years we've been doing it. And we always have somebody from a consulting rosarian, somebody from the Rose Society come in and do it. So you'll get really expert advice.
Now on to our deciduous fruit trees. My mm-hmm. Anna apples still have green foliage. Do I need to wait for those to completely drop?
They're kind of the same way as roses. It just doesn't ever get quite cold enough to cause those darn apples to ever go completely dormant. So nah, I probably wouldn't wait, because here's what happens is we're going to get, you know, this little bit of cold weather, then it's going to rain and it's going to just gradually warm up, and before you know it, they'll be blooming. And so you want to get that pruning done if they need it. They may not need any, but if they need it, you want to do it pretty quick. So I'd say in the next 2 to 3 weeks, whether they have leaves or not on apples, particularly Anna and Dorset, I'd get them pruned.
If you'd like to join the conversation, no matter where in the great state of Arizona you live, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can also text your questions into 411-923. 120 character limit, no images. If you've got a picture, you need some plant identification or something of that sort that's better described in a picture. Email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. That's how you contact the program. There's three great options of communication. And we'll start with the traditional, plain old telephone, with Keith, who wants to talk about a little weed control. Good morning, Keith. Welcome.
Good morning.
Tell us about your situation.
Well, We have a house on a large lot, almost 3/4 of an acre, and it's all rock. And we have landscapers come out, but the very next day, the weeds start popping up again. I'm just wondering if there is something that we can use to make the weeds go or kill the weeds for a year or so, so we don't have to keep going out there every week and dig them up.
Well, a couple things you probably should do, and this would be great timing because my understanding is it's going to – we've got a pretty good chance of some rainfall next week for several days. So getting a pre-emergent herbicide on before the rain, letting the rain water it in good, you know, that will keep any seeds that are sitting there that are waiting to germinate, waiting for some moisture to germinate, keep them from coming up. They'll germinate, and then that pre-emergent will kill them and keep that weed from continuing to sprout and grow. So that's one thing you definitely need to do. The other thing is if they're just going in and hoeing off or scraping off the top of the weed, then all they're doing is just separating the foliage from the root system, and they're just sprouting back. So you may actually want to use something like a Roundup-based product, Fertilom or High Yield Kills All, one of those that you could just go in and selectively just spray right on each individual plant. That works really well because it kills systemically. It kills the stem, the leaf, the root, and it won't come back from its own root system. What I don't encourage you to do is to go out and buy something like a Ground Clear or there are some products out there that will sterilize, quote unquote, the soil, but they kill everything, and it's just really not a very wise decision. Especially if you have desirable plants in the area, or sometimes even your neighbor's plants that are in the area, and that stuff can translocate through the soil. So a combination of pre-emergent herbicides and a systemic post-emergent herbicide really will generally do the trick. Now, the post-emergence that you're going to spray, when it's cold like this, they take a little while. It might take 2 or 3 weeks to actually see a weed.
I was
going to
mention
grass,
that. It takes time.
Yellow
as well.
And turn yellow and then finally die and go away because the plant's not growing very fast and it's cold. But they do work and will work. You just got to stay on top of it.
You see commercials of a magic 24-hour kill, and that might actually in some cases work. But you're just talking 3/4 of an acre. That's...
Well, or when it's 80 or 90 degrees, that stuff can kill pretty quick. But those products, have a quick kill type product in them along with something systemic. And Roundup is a slower kill anyway because it kills all the way down through the roots. So you don't get that resurgence of growth just because you just burnt the top of it off.
So there you go, Keith. There's also people that do that professionally. And for 3/4 of an acre.
Yeah, it might be worth having somebody come at least do the pre-emergent part. And they can actually mix the two together the first time. So they could spray the post and the pre-emergent all together at one time. Sure.
We appreciate the call and hope that helps. Good luck getting your lot cleared. We've got a text in from a new homeowner. Just moved on to a lot with a row of oleanders that have a privacy hedge. They want to remove the oleanders and put in dwarf fruit trees.
Okay.
Two questions. A, what do I need to know about removing the oleanders? Is there any type of special soil prep that needs to be required before putting in the trees? And then they would also like some suggestion on what type of fruit trees for Maricopa County.
Well, one thing, what do you need to, depending on how big these oleanders is, just be prepared for a lot of work. They are very well rooted. They have big root systems. You're just not going to go out there with a shovel and just pop them out of the ground. It's going to take some chopping and hoeing and axing and chainsawing and all that to get them out. The other thing you might be prepared for is once you get them all out, you may actually need a little soil because, you're going to be taking these big clumps and stumps and roots out, and you're going to leave big holes there. And I don't know how many fruit trees you're going to plant, but you might want to make an allowance for a little backfill soil so that you don't have big holes everywhere there was a stump of an oleander. As far as what to do to replant the fruit trees, nothing out of the unusual, just the normal soil preparation that you would do to plant a fruit tree. So some good compost material, probably some gypsum, maybe something like a root starter, a root stimulator to water them in with. Keep them well watered. And now, when they say fruit trees, I guess, and they said dwarf fruit trees, are they talking about citrus or deciduous like peaches or both? That would dictate what varieties. Any of the citrus varieties, you know, of course, will work very well here.
If they're trying to do a privacy hedge, it seems like you see citrus done a lot more than you do other types of fruits just because it's an evergreen.
Correct. I would think that would be the way they would want to go with some kind of citrus. And, of course, remember, the dwarfs are only going to get about 8 feet tall. So if you're looking for privacy, that may or may not be tall enough for you.
Oh, good point.
So you may want to go with a standard citrus size as opposed to dwarfs,
which can be hard to find. When we did our orchard, a lot of times dwarf was the only option. You had to really search for a non-dwarf variety.
Well, it just depends on the time of the year and the catching them, but you should be able to do it okay this spring for
now,
sure.
I know you're not a big proponent of planting big box trees. It just seems like you always say, oh, there's no need to. It'll get that size eventually. Why pay extra? But in this case, where you pretty much need a backhoe to get rid of oleander rootstocks, you're going to have a big enough hole. It might just make sense to drop in a bigger tree.
Well, your hole's going to be half dug. That's the good thing, is you're also digging the hole at the same time. So, yeah, depending on what the budget is, you could certainly do that.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.
And remember, don't dig without calling Blue Steak.
Not a bad idea.